right now, couldn't wait to talk to our next guest. The one and only Karen Catalina.
Did you know that I'm married to a trucker? I feel like using a Yiddish word, vermischt. Toiling in front of my computer, I am. They're just too dumb to lie. He has the effect of 6 shots of scotch.
Good morning, Karen Catalina.
Good morning, both of you. What a day. What a day.
Good morning. I know. It's Columbus Day.
That's right.
That's right.
Thank you for commemorating it. Oh, wait. You're talking about
Absolutely.
Something else.
Right. Thank Trump. So, thank Trump for remembering what it used to be called and ought to be called again.
So before we get to what you want to talk about, it is Columbus Day. So I'd like you to say, I don't know, buongiorno. Can you say that?
Buongiorno.
Very nicely done. A little bella ciao to celebrate Columbus Day 2025. Okay, that's it. All right, Karen.
Now, can I say something that's probably going to aggravate the life out of you?
What could you possibly say?
Did you hear, and it is apparently true, you're good. I feel like that guy in my big fat Greek wedding. Everything's Greek.
Put Windex
Everybody's
on it.
Everybody's Greek. Did you hear not long ago that they do believe that Columbus had Jewish lineage?
That's
and that he was escaping the Spanish Inquisition in 1492.
Well, that's perfect for you and me, right?
That makes total sense.
He's an Italian Jew, right? He knows how to cook good and, hey, you know, baseball too.
He's an Italian Jew with better food.
That's right. I'm sure.
I happen to like Jew food, but not everybody does.
Hey, I have nothing against Jew food. I know, you know, we went to this Jewish restaurant the other day, the gefilte fish. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. All right, so anyway.
I just got to tell you, Jew food that I think of that I grew up with is Eastern European food. The Israelis look at it and go, that's slave food. Hmm. So, you know, it's not the same. You know, Jews have been around too long and they've taken a lot.
You
Pretty soon we'll have Jewish Italian food.
That's
and then
right.
We'll have Italian matzo balls.
But we put those in the red gravy? Oh my God. That sounds good. Jews
sounds
get you know
terrible.
What? Jews have been eating for so long they get to eat what they want and that's it. And everybody else can shut up.
Yeah, right.
All right. So let's talk about the peace deal. And it's a happy, joyful day, isn't it?
It is. It coincides with the exact holiday of Simchas Torah that I didn't know at the time, that happened 2 years ago. As you know, we're on a lunar calendar, Jews are. And, you know, it's this day is coming as Jews all over the world are celebrating Simchas Torah, which is an extremely, or it's also pronounced Simchat Torah. And it's where Jews dance around with the Torah and they'll be dancing and singing extra for this holiday. And it's poetic and it's enormous in so many ways. I mean, what does a person say? The only thing I was thinking is what a privilege it is that anybody would ask me what I think about it. You know, I'm an American Jew. I don't profess to know what Israelis are feeling and thinking. We think and feel with them as best we can, as I hope everybody does, Jew or non-Jew alike. And as I tweeted the night before, I stand in awe of them. And I pray not just for them, but for us all, because we're going to need it. And boy, do we live in historic times.
Right.
And boy, do we have a leader that we probably will never see in this lifetime was the only one who could do it. He shames all the people who came before in recent history who claimed to want peace and never did a doggone thing and had no skills to do it.
I just want to say that you are important to us. Okay.
No.
So it's not necessarily that you live there or anything else. Ken, you correct me if I'm wrong. We both said Karen Catalina the day after, 2 days after October 7th, didn't we?
Well, yeah, actually we texted each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't give me that crap. You're important to us.
Well, no, I'm not having like false humility or anything. It's just that there's a lot of people who may think that because I'm Jewish, I know everything about Israeli politics, and I know some American Jews who know a lot. They know a lot more than I do. But it doesn't automatically follow. What does follow is that we are a tribal people. And we stand with Jews all over the world. That's why when we light candles on Friday night, we know it's not part of it. We just know that people all over the world, Jews all over the world, are lighting candles on Friday night.
You know, there may be experts. There may be experts, but we will want you because of your heart, period. Ken?
Well, you have a big one. Both of you.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, my heart. Oh, thank you very much.
And Vic, Karen and I were talking before.
Spoken like a true Italian.
Yeah, really.
Mr. Macho Man.
Karen, when you and I were talking off the mic earlier, I mentioned to you that I'd never seen people in Gaza, the actual Gazans there, that were actually celebrating peace. That I can remember ever seeing it. And you seemed a little apprehensive about that yes. comment. And I want you to explain why, because I didn't ask you about it.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. I mean, I know even less about what's going on in Gaza. What I do know is that Gazans elected Hamas to be their leader in Gaza. And I would humbly ask listeners to go to my Twitter page. I reposted something that I think is really important on the history of Palestine, or whether it really is Palestine. And this is something that I don't retain well, but which are facts. So I think it's likely that people in Gaza are celebrating the end of the war. Okay. What exactly they're celebrating? Are they celebrating over 2,000 so-called Palestinians being returned and 250 of them who were given life sentences for being terrorists? Are they celebrating the end of the war? Many of them might secretly be celebrating the end of Hamas in Gaza. We don't know. And if I have any feeling about all of this other than the gratitude to be living in America with such a president, to be an American Jew who still at least enjoys religious pluralism and freedom in this country, for which I will be forever and endlessly grateful. But it's that I have respect for the enormity of what Trump just did and how complicated it is. As I've said to some people, I've come to really appreciate the chess game that is American politics. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing affects everything else. We watch the things Trump has done in this country to fight Antifa, to fight terrorism, to fight the radical Democrats, on and on it goes, and the moves that are made and what you and I and Ken talk about so much. It almost makes it look like romper room compared to the politics of the Middle East.
Right.
So the first thing you got to do is appreciate and have enough humility to realize, gee, I don't know, but I sure hope and pray. I don't know, but if he is developing a coalition of good people who would rather make money than war, I'm behind it. And that is part of what Trump does. He brings pressure to bear, and then people come around, and they are exposed. I was having this discussion with somebody this morning. Somebody complained while we were watching Trump's speech at the Knesset. He's now speaking, you know, in Egypt, and he said, oh, he's going off script. I said, the magic of Trump is that honesty and candor, among so many other things. He is who he is. We get to know him. We get to know that he's telling you what he thinks because he's consistent. He doesn't have to remember what he thought, but he doesn't tell you his strategy. He's candid about who he is, but he's not candid about his strategy. And that candor and honesty ups the ante for other dishonest people to either be exposed or be candid too. And then he watches what they do. This is high-level negotiation. I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah, and do you think, Karen, that this is why he's visiting the other Middle Eastern countries today?
Absolutely. Do you remember one of his announcements when he announced it on Truth Social is that he will be fair to both sides? Okay?
Yeah.
So it is essential to be a peacemaker that you build respect and a sense of fairness for both sides. As all of the people who are agenda-driven, endlessly agenda-driven, who are trying to push and spin for their side no matter what happens. Notice people who said, free Palestine, ceasefire, ceasefire. Notice none of them are cheering today and saying, yay, ceasefire. No, they're on to the next grievance for which they're going to start riots. It is a given. It was kill Jews and create division and create communism in this country. It wasn't about freedom for the so-called Palestinians. Unfortunately, skulls full of mush don't understand that chess game and the game of propaganda. So, and you know, let's face it, we're students of it here, and we're constantly amazed. We watch it and they go, and we go, wow. That was something. And then some of my friends who are very pro-Israel, I'll get an email from a circle of people that I used to know in one of the many cities I've lived in. And they'll say, oh, I don't know. I think Trump is going to betray Israel. And I say, just watch and wait.
Why would anyone think
that? Well, just watch and wait and look at the results. Stop looking at the rhetoric. Is he honest? Yes. Does he tell you everything he's going to do? No.
Yeah, I can't
he's
wait.
Too smart to do that.
I can't wait to see what the protesters are up to for next time around, you know, because you actually answered the question I was going to ask you, because they're like, hey, are we going to go protest? No, jackass, it's over now. I mean, we lost.
Oh, no, we're going to find a new one
right.
before you can say...
Gavilta fish.
Before you can say Hitler just brought peace to the Middle East.
Right.
That Babylon Bee was the best.
The other thing I want to ask you is, just talk about thousands of Palestinian terrorists are going to be released from their side, and we get 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, I'm sure, knowing how President Trump negotiated in quotes with the leader of the Taliban, that it's not going to be just a release. There's got to be caveats. You guys step out of line one time and you're gone.
That's why the next chapter is so important to watch. It's not even important to predict. I mean, I have hunches and stuff, but this is round one. Remember, he said it was a 20-point plan.
Right.
Okay, 20 points. And it's going to be very interesting to watch, because Israel has something to say about that, too. And it's like he's set up this narrative where if you don't do what I say, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to unleash the Israel to do it. So you better watch your P's and Q's, you know, but he's still the negotiating party. So it's a masterclass, and you still can't know everything he's doing, but it's a masterclass. I was thinking just this out of nowhere. It's like the people that have spent their waking days demeaning and vilifying Donald Trump and believing all this poison about him, can they not? Of course, they're watching MSNBC because nobody else is. But to look at the contrast, the unbelievable contrast, just in energy, in honesty, and in candor, and availability, and transparency, I could go on, and skills between this president and the last one, and they're sticking up for the last one. I mean, at some point when you're on the Titanic, it's kind of good to jump off before you go down with the ship, isn't it?
No kidding. And leave room for Jack on the door. Wesley Hunt, Representative Wesley Hunt from Texas. I love when he tells the story of Trump with the leader of the Taliban, and he's got the interpreter there in between, and he says, you know, I guess you got to ask, I don't know how that works. If you look at the guy that doesn't understand you or the guy that does understand you, and said, if you hurt one hair on the head of one American, I will kill you. And the translator like opened his eyes real big, and Trump goes, tell him what I said. So he does. Meanwhile, while he's translating that, Trump reaches into his breast pocket and pulls out an aerial photo of the Taliban leader's house. and then he got up and he walked out. And that's the way to do it. And to hear Wesley Hunt tell that story is the best. All right, we're almost out of time here, right. And I don't want to run out of time before, considering the circumstances and the sad circumstances, we had to play you one of the best pieces of cinematic talent in history.
Michael, you say you love me, and then you talk about allowing me to leave.
There are things that have been going on for years between men and women.
Michael, you're blind. You've become blind, Michael.
Michael,
what? Look what's happened to us, Mike. My God, look what's happened to our son, Michael.
Nothing's happened to us.
Don't tell me that.
Anthony's fine.
Anthony is not fine.
I don't want to hear about it.
You will?
I don't want to hear about it.
Anthony's
fine.
Anthony's friends are your button men.
Button men.
I was telling.
May she rest in peace.
Yeah, she was great. And I mean, you've done acting. It's so hard. It's so hard to act against somebody when you're arguing like that and you're both talking at the same time to remember your lines while you're being distracted by the other person saying his or her lines. Am I right, Karen?
Yes. And one of the things in acting that a lot of people don't realize, you've got to listen to the other person. Otherwise, you're just kind of pretending, which acting basically is in some ways. But it's very natural pretending. And the best acting is when the people who aren't saying anything are listening to the other person and reacting as honestly as they can. And so there they are talking to each other. Weren't they both students at the Actors Studio, both of them?
Lee Strasberg taught them both.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Thanks for stealing my punchline.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Love you anyway.
And who Vic, was Lee Strasberg?
Oh,
who was he? How does he figure into this picture?
Well, let me tell you. I don't know exactly who, but I know one thing. He's always accurate about his age.
It wasn't Meyer Lansky. It was Hyman Roth.
Michael, we're bigger than U.S. Steel.
Yeah.
All right, Karen.
Watch those videos of those families welcoming those hostages.
I can't wait for the hugs and the tears. I can't wait.
Oh, it's there.
I don't know if
it's
we mentioned.
It's out there already.
And this was my job, and I didn't. But Diane Keaton died over the weekend. Sorry, we didn't mention that. And
yes,
she was one of the best. And, you know, that scene, I think, is one of the best in cinematic history, Karen. I really do.
Tremendous.
All right, love. We shall talk
Take
to you
care.
On Thursday. Have a great week. Enjoy all the hugging and the kissing and the missing and the tears, okay?
Yes. You too.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.